Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So today, FNB Friday, we are going to be talking about chocolate, Ryan. Are you a chocolate person or ice cream person or durian chocolate? I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring it up because my very first book that I fell in love with was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh!
Yeah, I just imagine, you know, myself going through a huge factory, swimming in pools of chocolate, and just having all the chocolate I want to eat all day.
So what's your favorite?
It has to be dark chocolate. So dark really chocolate. Intense chocolatey taste.
Wow. Well, who doesn't like the sound of a good chocolate? Who doesn't like a good bar of chocolate? Some eat chocolates just because they have a sweet tooth. Others eat to relieve stress. Are you one of those type?
Now and then. I think this week has been quite stressful, so I might find some chocolate later on.
All right, thanks a lot, Ryan. Many businesses, especially in the F&B sector, are rather cautious right now with their plans due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But Barry Callebaut, the world's leading manufacturer of high-quality chocolate and cocoa products, have done otherwise. Now, Singapore's biggest chocolate factory recently announced the installation of its fourth production line. And this fourth production line gives the facility the ability to produce chocolate blocks of different volumes at a rate of high efficiency, allowing Barry Callebaut to meet increased export demand for the region. So how does a chocolate factory actually look inside? I think Ryan and I would really love to go and experience a Willy Wonka chocolate factory. What are some of the challenges that Barry Callebaut are facing, while they're trying to expand amidst this COVID-19 pandemic? Well, on the line with me this morning is Chu Shou Yin, who's the Vice President of Barry Callebaut Asia Pacific. Good morning, Shou Yin. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Elliot. Very nice to be on your show.
Okay, so you are a VP of Barry Callebaut. Do they test you in terms of your chocolate knowledge, or is that part of the interview process?
Yes, Elliot, we are clearly tested on our chocolate knowledge. You know, in our office, we have a whole bank of chocolate dispensers. So every time we walk past, we have to eat some chocolate. It's a big, big burden, but someone needs to do it.
I mean, you're expanding, so Ryan and I can always try, but never mind. Change industry.
You can, absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about Barry Callebaut, of course, the world's leading manufacturer of high-quality chocolate and cocoa products. Could you tell us a little bit about the history and the presence you have here in Singapore?
Sure, Elliot. It's a surprising fact. I think not many people are aware of this. But the chocolate factory we have in Singapore that is in the Woodlands area is actually one of the largest chocolate factories, not just in Singapore, but actually in the whole of Asia. Mm-hmm. So Singapore actually is a big producer of chocolate. So we invested in this factory in 1997. It was our first factory in Asia. Since then, we have built more factories all over Asia. We have 11 factories now. But the Singapore factory remains our largest factory in Asia. So over the years, we have invested in this factory, and the new line, that's the latest addition to this factory in Senoko.
Okay. Just how much chocolate is being produced at this factory?
It's tens of thousands of tons, so that's a lot of chocolate. If you imagine one ton of chocolate, that's a gigantic block that is larger than a person. So we make tens of thousands of tons of chocolate from this factory every year.
Wow, that is really incredible. Now, you were assistant director at the Monetary Authority of Singapore. You were also a trade negotiator at the Ministry of Trade and Industry. I am curious as to why you decided to join the F&B industry. But when you tell me about these chocolate dispensers, I mean, I feel I'm asking a stupid question. But really, how has this helped you in your current role?
It's kind of random. I've done different things in my career. At one point, I was contacted by a headhunter, and you know, he told me, okay, do you want to work for a chocolate company? And of course, who would say no, right? So I said yes right away, and so I'm here. I've been with Barry Callebaut for about 5-6 years now. It's an exciting journey. Every day we try to sell more chocolate.
Right, but does it help you? I mean, your background as a trade negotiator... I mean, sometimes chocolate can be a commodity, you know.
to some degree, yes. I think if you look at what has happened with the COVID situation over the last few months, I think as we know, there have been a lot of trade disruptions, right?
Yes.
So I'll give one example. We don't have a factory in the Philippines, but we export quite a lot of products from Singapore to the Philippines. So at one point, the factories in the Philippines were all shutting down because the Philippines had closed the public transport, so the workers couldn't get to the factories, right? So that's one example of some of these trade disruptions that took place over the last few months. So I think in that context, my background in the trade ministry, I think it's maybe slightly relevant, I'll put it that way.
So you guys, and you talked about this a little bit earlier on, the installation of this fourth production line at the chocolate factory in Singapore. Could you walk us through the details of a chocolate factory? I mean, what's in the production line? What exactly happens? Is it really like Willy Wonka?
I get asked that question all the time. Is it like Willy Wonka? I'll just say it's slightly different, maybe very slightly different. We don't have the Oompa Loompa, for example, so it's slightly different. Well, I think to be a bit more serious, right? Mm. You know, to make chocolate, you need several different types of raw materials. You need the cocoa, you need the dairy, you need the sugar, for example.
Sure.
And what the factory does, it puts all these ingredients together. The key steps are two parts. I think one, we call it the refining, that is trying to grind down the particles, the sugar particles, for example, to a smooth texture so that when you eat it, it's not rough on your tongue. Then we have a second step. It's called the conching. And what that means is you then apply certain pressure, a certain texture to the chocolate. And that allows the fine flavors of the chocolate to be then developed. So that's the process in a nutshell. We don't exactly have pools of chocolate, but we do have chocolate that flows through the pipes in the factories. So that's how it works in a very simple way.
Okay. I mean, pardon me for assuming too much here, but you mentioned earlier on how you don't have a factory in the Philippines, but you do export there. I mean, wouldn't it, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic, wouldn't it be cheaper to open a factory there than to expand a factory here in Singapore? I mean, land, the price of land is definitely a factor. Why have you guys decided to do this here in Singapore?
That's a good question. Fundamentally, Singapore is a good place to manufacture and to export for a few reasons. I think one key reason is that to make chocolate, you need a lot of different kinds of raw materials. And these are agricultural raw materials like sugar, like cocoa. Mm. Now, in many countries, there are pretty high tariffs or quotas for these raw materials. So if you look at the Philippines, for example, the price of sugar in the Philippines is actually very expensive because Philippines controls the imports of sugar. So the fact that in Singapore, we have an open economy where there are very little tariffs that allows us to then process and buy these raw materials at a competitive price. So that's one factor. And apart from that, of course, Singapore is pretty reliable, pretty stable as a place to manufacture. So even as we have expanded over the region, we find that we keep investing in the Singapore factory as well.
But surely, you know, expanding during a pandemic, you know, during your various circuit breakers or lockdowns, that can be quite challenging. What were some of the things that you guys came across?
Absolutely. It was quite difficult. We had to get the equipment into the factory. Part of the work, of course, big part of the work was done before the lockdown already.
Right.
And then our team in the factory had then to do a lot of the final commissioning on their own, even through the circuit breaker. Mm-hmm. And then after the circuit breaker, then we finally completed the installation. So it was definitely very not an easy process, but our team persevered. I think the factory team did a very good job. And of course, our team is experts on chocolate manufacturing, chocolate processing. So we were able to do it. Of course, the whole situation made it a lot more difficult.
I'm also curious because, you know, earlier on, Ryan and I were talking about how sometimes you eat chocolate because you're stressed or sometimes just because, and then you consider the price points, the different range that's available where chocolate is concerned. And this one's to put you on the spot, Shou-Yen. Do you think then, I mean, you mentioned early on supply chain and whatnot, fair enough, but do you think then that the chocolate industry is potentially recession-proof?
Well, I will put it this way. When you talk about chocolate, it's not just a chocolate bar. It's also chocolate that goes into biscuit, that goes into bread, it goes into ice cream. So it goes into all kinds of products, not just the chocolate bar. So it goes into basically all kinds of essential food items. So during a recession, people would still need to eat. I think that's a basic fact. Mm. Although, of course, course, we see that certain segments may do worse, certain segments may do better. So, for example, clearly, the business where we sell to the hotel chefs, for example, that has been a bit of negative impact. I think that's possible. At the same time, more and more people are doing home baking, right? People are staying at home, they are baking cakes and so on. So the demand for the chocolate that goes into the home baking, I think that one is growing. So there are different segments. I think some will do better, some will do worse.
To get a little bit more of an understanding of the kind of distribution, and I'll try not to mention names here, there's a very prominent chocolate buffet that's offered at a very prominent hotel. Are you guys somewhat involved in supplying all of that?
I'll just explain our business. We one business called the food service business. This sells to the hotels, the cafes, these bakery shops like Phun Huat that sell it on to the professional chefs and so on. So okay. That's one segment. So within this segment, we definitely do supply to many of the hotels in Singapore. Another segment is what we call the industrial segment. So this is where we sell to the big industrial manufacturers. So for example, when Magnum launches a ruby chocolate ice cream, the ruby chocolate will be made by us. So that's an example of the industrial business that we have.
Okay, so I have contributed to your business. Very good. We're having a good conversation.
I'm sure you have.
Recently, I might add. Barry Callebaut has just closed the acquisition of GKC Foods Australia. Could you explain this move, the rationale behind it, and how it's going to benefit Barry Callebaut?
Yes. So Australia is a large chocolate market. In Australia, the consumption patterns for chocolate are similar to Western Europe. So Australians do eat quite a lot of chocolate. We have not had a factory in Australia previously. So this acquisition of GKC, which is a specialty chocolate producer, then gives us the footprint in Australia where we can supply the Australian market more efficiently.
And what do you see, you know, in terms of the future? I mean, clearly during this pandemic, you have gone and sort of a semi-aggressive expansion. What is your outlook, you know, for Barry Callebaut's future for the rest of the year and even next year, even though we have this pandemic going on?
I mean, I can't comment on our results, clearly.
Sure.
But
sure.
I will just talk about the mid to longer term. If you look at the amount of chocolate that people in Asia eat, it's relatively little. People in Asia eat about 500 grams of chocolate every year.
Uh-huh.
You compare that to Western Europe, people eat maybe 7 to 8 kilograms of chocolate every year. So there's still a lot of room for growth. And in fact, the growth rates for chocolate consumption in Asia are the highest in the world. So we think there's a lot of headroom for growth. Obviously, with the COVID pandemic, I think there'll be some ups and downs, but in the mid to long term, the demand for food and for chocolate, I think it's going to be pretty robust.
Okay, well, as a stress reliever, as long as us Asians start to realize that chocolate is cheaper as a stress reliever compared to alcohol, I think that'll go up. Any new innovations that you could possibly share with us?
Well, one is I'd like to talk about whole food chocolate.
Okay.
Well, I could explain a little bit. I think with the COVID pandemic, people are increasingly health conscious, right? People want to eat less sugar, for example. We have a new category of chocolate called whole food chocolate. And how that works is that for normal chocolate, you usually have to add sugar to make the chocolate, right? You take the cocoa, you add the sugar. Now, for whole food chocolate, there's no sugar added. It's made entirely from the cacao fruits. And how that works is that we take some of the natural elements of the cacao fruit, for example, the pulp that is normally just thrown away, and we use that as a natural sweetener for this whole fruit chocolate. So the great thing is that you have a bar of chocolate. It's made entirely of the cacao fruit, no added sugar, and it has 40% less sugar than a normal chocolate bar. So it's very much in line with the, I think, expectations of the public as they think about how they can consume more healthily, especially with, you know, the COVID pandemic in mind.
So chocolate that doesn't make you as fat as normal chocolate?
Well, I would say chocolate makes you fat. I've actually lost weight since I joined that. So But it's healthier, it's better for you. I think that's what we want to try to do. And it tastes great.
That's true. Any excuse to consume more. I've been speaking with Chu Shou Yan, Vice President Barry Callebaut, Asia Pacific. Shou Yan, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Okay, thank you, Alit.
FMB Friday, written and produced by Nadira Kamarudin.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.